As was mentioned, Jeff is on a bit of a vacation, so I am privileged to bring the word to you this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, looking at verses 4 through 11. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. I invite you to follow along with me as I read. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And we pray for our time this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you are our King, that you are the sovereign Lord over all things, and that you are good. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would help me to speak clearly and communicate your truth, and that our ears and our hearts would be open to what you have to say in your word this morning. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you might have surmised, our passage this morning deals with discipline, which I would hazard a guess is probably not your typical New Year's Day sermon or topic, nor is this an easy topic to think about or even discuss. And so before we really dive in, I think it's important to first briefly think about discipline first in its proper perspective, as well as define what we will focus on versus what we're not going to focus on this morning. So as we think about it, first, the proper perspective, the goal of the Father's discipline is not punitive nor wrathful in its nature. As I was doing reading, one writer put it this way: significantly, God's discipline of his children never involves his wrath. Every reference in the New Testament on the subject indicates that God's wrath rests upon and is reserved for the unbelieving. So what we're not talking about here is wrathful judgment against the wicked. That's not what's in view here. Rather, discipline is about bringing straying sheep back into the fold. You know, as we looked and read throughout our passage, you know, discipline is spoken of as a word of encouragement. It's spoken of for our good and something that we are trained by. You know, these descriptions of discipline are not for the wicked. They're not for unbelievers, but rather they're for adopted children of the family of God. And so it's proper that we think about discipline as an act of love, not as an act of judgment against unbelievers. And so that's kind of first, that proper perspective. And then the second, kind of a brief word on what we're not going to cover this morning. The type of discipline described in our passage this morning is of a father disciplining his children. And so what is not in view here is how we typically think of discipline, as in church discipline. You know, there are other passages in the Bible that describe church discipline and the methodology of how church discipline is to be conducted. For those of you that were a part of our congregational meeting 7 weeks ago, you got a small taste of how methodical our denomination can be about something as small and simple as a budget. And so you can imagine that in our denomination's Book of Church Order, there are chapters on church discipline. And so while that is a serious topic, you know, and as someone who is an elder on the session, there's a great weightiness that we try to approach manners of church discipline. That's not what's in view here this morning. You know, as we think about church discipline, that has a more horizontal component to it, as believers maybe relate to one another, while there is a vertical component to it. However, our passage this morning is about the Father's discipline to his children, not church discipline this morning. It is between the Creator and the created, between a holy God and his chosen people, between a father and his children. And that's what's in view this morning. And so as we take and dive into our passage, we're going to take a look at three aspects of the Father's loving discipline. We're going to see that one, discipline is for God's children. Two, discipline is painful. And three, discipline is a blessing. So first, discipline is for God's children. You know, the big illustration in our passage is of a father disciplining his son or his children. Verses 5 and 6 are actually a quotation of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And it's this section of Proverbs where it is a father encouraging and imparting wisdom to his son. And so we read, you know, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. And so when we look at discipline, we see that it is the relationship is one of a father disciplining his children. And it's important that we look at discipline through that lens, because it tells us something about the nature of discipline. You know, why is it important? Because the father's discipline is fundamentally different than other types of discipline. You know, some of you know that I do a lot of things with our local school district, and at the school district we have something called a discipline committee, and that's a function of the local school board. So when the student does something they're not supposed to, obviously there's consequences to it. You know, detention or loss of some extracurricular privileges. When they do something that is particularly not good, then they have to come before the school board's discipline committee. Or things like out-of-school suspension or out-of-district placement or expulsion are discussed. Or you think about discipline within the workplace. You know, you think of something like demerits or demotions or loss of pay, or again, in some egregious situations, potentially fired. You know, in those relationships, discipline has the feel of something that's a little bit more punitive. And we see what discipline does is that it pushes the relationship, it pushes the person away. It's meant to create a separation. Whereas in a father-child relationship, discipline is meant to restore or to redeem, to draw the child back in, and that it's done in love and for our benefit. So looking at the Lord's discipline through this lens, this illustration, this image of a father to the child gives us an insight to the nature of this discipline. You know, it's meant to provide us with encouragement and assurance that, yes, you are indeed a child of God. You know, verses 6 and 7 that we already read provide this assurance. You know, God disciplines his children. If you are being disciplined, if you're enduring discipline, God is treating you as a child. For what children are not disciplined by their father? You know, it's this positive assurance that you are his child. In the same way, verse 8 gives the same assurance, except more in the negative. You know, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. So if you're not being disciplined, you are not an heir. You will not inherit the kingdom of God, and indeed, you don't have anything. And so it might seem odd, but we ought to be encouraged when we experience the Lord's discipline, because it means that you are indeed a child of God. So maybe you have yet to experience the Father's discipline, but don't worry, as it says in verse 8, everyone undergoes discipline. Maybe you are in the midst of experienced discipline, or maybe you have experienced it before. And so as you reflect on that, be encouraged that you are indeed counted in the family of God. You know, as you look at those other relationships, consequences pushes you away, but the Father's discipline is meant to draw you in. So we see that discipline is for God's children. And we also see that discipline is painful. In verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And again, not to make light of the topic or the scripture, but for anyone that has experienced any kind of discipline, this feels like an understatement. But it's the truth. The discipline is not something that we enjoy. You know, as I was again doing some reading, one writer describes the Father's discipline in three categories: corrective, preventative, and educational. And we'll talk about the educational one in a little bit later, but I want to look at those first two categories, because those are the ones that we tend to think about when it comes to the Father's discipline. You know, one example of corrective discipline is what we see in 2 Samuel 12, after King David has sinned with Bathsheba. The prophet Nathan comes, and he rebukes David for his sin, and the Lord disciplines David and his household. As we think about kind of preventative discipline, the example is Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he describes a thorn in the flesh to prevent him from being conceited. And as you look at those two examples, neither example is pleasant, but in fact, it is very painful, which is why we are giving that warning that we see in that quote from Proverbs. Verse 6, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. You know, there's two dangers in that verse right there. The first danger is that when we experience the Father's loving discipline, that we might make light of it and ignore it. You know, that first danger is that it's hard to acknowledge our sin. And when we fall short, you know, I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to think that I possibly could be wrong. And I especially don't like it to admit when I am wrong. You know, it's painful to admit that we have fallen short. It's not easy to accept the Father's discipline. But to ignore it is a greater danger. Because remember, the Father disciplines those he loves and calls us children. And so if we make light of it, if we ignore the Father's discipline, then we are not acting as his children. And so while it might be painful, it's important that we do not make light of the Father's discipline, but we accept it. The second danger that we see is that it encourages, do not lose heart when he rebukes you. And so the second danger then is that when we experience the Father's discipline, that we despair, that we lose heart and we lose focus. You know, we feel the weight of our sin, and we can sense and see this chasm between us and our fallenness and God's holiness. And we feel as that there is no way that we can bridge it. And in one sense, that's correct. There is nothing we can do to bridge that chasm. But remember, God's discipline, the Father's loving discipline, is for his children. And he has already bridged that chasm through his son Jesus, who came and bore our sin on the cross. And so while, again, discipline is painful, we can be encouraged and not despair, because God has already poured out his wrath on someone else. And so remembering that discipline is meant to draw us back in. Which again touches back at what I said at the very beginning. Discipline is an act of love, not wrathful judgment. And this brings us then to our last point. Discipline is a blessing. You know, in verse 10, it reads this, God disciplines us for our good, so that we might share in his holiness. Our God is a holy God, and we are called to be his holy people. And for those that follow after Jesus, it is a process to die to our sin and live unto righteousness. You know, and the Father's discipline is a blessing, and while it is painful, it helps us to die more and more to our sin. In Malachi 3, it talks about how the Lord refines his people like one who refines silver and gold. And you think about that image there. In order to be refined, you have to be placed in a furnace or a fire in order to separate out all the impurities. You know, that analogy does not depict a pleasant experience, but it does depict a beautiful result. You know, discipline helps mold us more and more in the likeness of Jesus. You know, when my wife and I, we talk about disciplining our children, it is often a challenging conversation because sometimes we just don't know what to do. You know, we try to discipline according to the offense. You know, we try to raise them the best we can, but, you know, we're still human, and even as parents, we fall short, even when we want what is best for our kids. You know, and that's what we see here in verses 9 and 10. You know, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. You know, and then verse 10, they disciplined us for a little while they thought best. You know, here it shows the limitations of our human parents, our human fathers, that while they disciplined and they did it in love, there was limits to it. It didn't fully meet this standard. They tried what was best, but it falls short. But look at what the encouragement is there in verse 10. But God disciplines us for our good. There is something different and greater about the Father's loving discipline of his people than a parent's discipline for their child. While we might try our best, we are still going to fall short. And yet God disciplines his children in love for our good. And that is a blessing, in that while we fall short, God never does. He cares for his children and desires us to be with him. And so his discipline is a blessing as he molds and shapes us more and more in the image of Jesus. You know, discipline is a blessing in that it's for our good. And then we see in verse 11, it's a blessing that produces future fruit. You know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, discipline is something that is also educational for us. It teaches us and instructs us and enables us to live lives that reflect our Holy Father in heaven. You know, the picture that's presented there in verse 11 is an agricultural one. You know, discipline is the hard and sometimes painful work of tilling the soil, so that it might produce future fruit of righteousness and peace. You know, at first glance, that those two, righteousness and peace, don't seem to go together. You know, how can the Father's loving discipline of his children produce a harvest of righteousness and peace? Well, it's put this way, the combination of peace and righteousness is natural. For no true peace can exist without righteousness. It comes out of it. When a man gets right with God, his heart has peace. And what that writer is saying is that when you are disciplined, it's meant to mold your life more and more after our Heavenly Father, more and more in the likeness of His Son. And when sin dies in you and you live more and more to righteousness, then you have peace with God. You know, the Father's loving discipline, it's a blessing that brings us back to Him and that we can have peace. So how are we to respond to the Lord's discipline? I want to leave us with kind of three quick responses to the Father's loving discipline. First, confess and acknowledge our sin when we have fallen short. You know, we have all sinned and fallen short, and we need Jesus. And while we are redeemed children, we are adopted sons and daughters of the living God, it's important that we still strive to uproot the sin that is in our lives. And in those moments, we ought not to keep that sin hidden, nor make light of the Lord's discipline, nor lose heart. But remember, our identity is as a child of God and not a slave to sin. So we ought to confess our sin in humble submission in light of the Lord's discipline. The second thing, once we have confessed our sin and then repent of it, which means to kind of turn away from our sin, you know, we ought to strive to look towards Jesus, walk towards Jesus, to cast off the old and put on Christ. You know, right before our section here in chapter 12, it's about the author of Hebrews is describing the Christian life. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then, right there in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know, as we look at the Christian life, as we are running the race, you know, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't turn to the left or to the right, but instead focus on Christ. Run towards our Savior. And then our last response to the Father's loving discipline is praise and worship. You know, be assured that if the Lord in His love is disciplining you, then indeed you are a child of God. You have been adopted into the family. And your God loves you. He cares for you. He desires good for you, and He is worthy to be praised. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, You are our God. You are our good God. You are our King. And Lord, we thank You that even though we might struggle or stray, that You are a God who seeks after us. You are a shepherd who brings Your sheep back into the fold. And Lord, we pray that we would strive after You, we would focus on You, and through Your Spirit, that You would make us more and more in the likeness of Jesus. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.